Hello and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. This is episode 38, and tonight we're going to be talking about a bunch of different things. I want to welcome you once again to the podcast, and I want to say that this is, of course, another one of our older style podcasts. We're working to get the new conversational styles up and running, and for right now, I just wanted to get some more podcast episodes out there for you listeners. I didn't want you to think that we were promising to come back and not fulfilling that promise. So this is an old style podcast, and we will be bringing you the new style with my co-host Tom Barbalay real soon. We're working to schedule that and to get some interesting content to speak with you about, and we will be doing it, as I had mentioned in an earlier podcast, through a new method. We will most likely be using something called TalkShoe, and we're hoping that we'd be able to have some of you call in, and we think it just would be a lot of fun. But in tonight's podcast, we're going to talk about a few different things. I want to start off with some really good news. I had mentioned previously on the blog that I was invited by Tom Barbalay to be a guest on the Stone Ape podcast, and Tom, of course, now is a member of the CWF Gamecast team. He's a co-host for the new version of the podcast, but at the time that he asked me to be a guest, he was just a fan, this wonderful person who created the Noble Ape Simulation and AI aficionado, and just an all-around really good guy, very well-informed, very interesting, very fun, someone who I actually would love to meet in person. I feel from listening to the previous episodes of the Stone Ape podcast that I've gotten to know him and gotten to know his co-host, Aaron Stone, really well. It feels like I'm sitting down with a cup of tea in, you know, a room with them as they're having a conversation and that I'm part of the group. I think that's something they do really well. And I appeared as a guest, as I had said, in an episode of the Stone Ape podcast. I was very excited to be a guest. It's episode 19 of the Stone Ape podcast. You can access it by going to iTunes and looking up the Stone Ape podcast. You can go to the official website, which is www.nobleape.com/stone. Or I will have a link to it in my show notes, plus I have a link to it on our Facebook page, and there's links everywhere. But Tom and I had a really good chat. I had so much fun speaking with them. And I have to apologize once again to everyone who's already listened to it, to everyone who will listen to it, and of course to Tom, because my wife and I have these two bunnies. Both of them were really noisy during the recording. I've become perhaps a little immune to the noise that they make. I'm used to it, and although I know it's loud, it doesn't always sound as loud to me in person as it came across in the audio. So I really do apologize for that. Additionally, my sound levels in the audio from that episode were really high. I didn't realize I was speaking so loud. I don't know if it was the recording or what it was. So there's a little bit of disparity. Tom spent a lot of time doing post-production to fix the sound quality, and I know it is almost completely my fault. This is partly why when he and I co-host new episodes of the Gamecast that we will be using TalkShoe or some other method. We recorded that through Skype, which is very interesting and seems to work well for a lot of things, but it had some trouble with that. So I just wanted to say thank you again, Tom. My apologies for the problems with the audio quality and how excited I am that I was able to be a guest. I look forward to coming back. Anytime you want to invite me back, I will be happy to speak with you on the Stone Ape podcast. I love it. It's one of my all-time favorite podcasts, and it's just fantastic. But moving on, because I have a lot of other things I'd like to talk about, I want to start off with something that my wife and I had been doing. For those of you who are into zombies, especially since Halloween had recently gone by, there's this great new TV show on AMC, and it's called The Walking Dead. It's based on the graphic novel by Kirkman, and it's a live-action show. It's fantastic. It's very well done and very true to the graphic novels, as anyone who has read them will know. I'm a big fan of the graphic novels. I'm a big fan of the graphic novel format in particular, but a big fan of this one. It's just so well done. I own almost all of the graphic novels, so of course I have a knowledge of what's going to happen. But I was watching it, and it got me thinking about how it would make a good game, and in particular, a good role-playing game. And then I thought about it some more, and I realized there's a tabletop game out that could be adapted to create a good zombie-type role-playing game. And when I say a zombie role-playing game, I don't mean specifically just about zombies, but a game that would include zombies. And the game I'm talking about is called BG Weird War 2. And it is, well, it's a tabletop game. It's a World War II setting game. And as the name implies, it's a little different. It allows for things like monsters, like werewolves and undead, you know, zombies and ghosts and skeletons and all sorts of different supernatural kind of things. The people who make the BG Weird War 2 are the Cottrells, Brian and his wife, and they're very interesting. They're good people, they're fun people. They've done a lot with it, and on the blog, on my blog, the CWF Gamecast, if you look back, there's an episode, or rather an article we wrote back in, oh, I don't know, a couple years ago, that includes pictures from a game that was played using those rules, and someone had posted pictures to kind of show what they've done, and it's a whole rule set. But what I really like about it is the setting. They've done a really good job with that setting, and I think that they would be able to take that and then use it to create a really good role-playing game. And it would be really interesting because they already have this setting. It's already taken care of. It's up and it's going. They're established. But at the same time, I think they'd be able to use that twist and allow people to play a human during World War II who's fighting the undead and going against the evil Nazis with their crazy regime of technology and hate. And I also think it'd be cool to allow people to play a zombie and see, explore that. What's your motivation? What's it like to be a zombie? And I think it would be just a lot of fun. I don't know how it could get made. I don't know what one would do. But I think it's something that's worth exploring. And I actually kind of want to mention this when Tom and I co-host in a future episode of the Gamecast, because I think it'd be fun to explore. I know he's working on a role-playing game right now. I know RPGs interest him. They interest me. I'm really interested by World War II and by the military and military history and history in general. I've grown to like zombies. I love The Walking Dead. And I think a nice meshing of this could be either for an actual game or an inspiration for another game. Would fill a nice niche out there for role-playing games. The big heavy hitters, of course, are, you know, D&D, and then there are like things like Warhammer Historicals and Rogue Trader and Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. But I think this would be a fun way to go about it, and I just wanted to float the idea. I don't know what would happen with it or where to go with it. I'm not someone who would be able to do that myself, but it would be pretty cool to see it in existence. I actually know a guy who goes to my local game store, Battleground Games and Hobbies, and he has his own company, and he makes D&D modules right now. They're up for free on the RPG Network, I believe, and you can download them for free. And I actually don't want to get into that right now because I'd love to actually have him be a guest on a future show and to talk about that. I'd love to talk about it in general in a future show with or without him. But he could perhaps, you know, be able to do it. He writes his own modules and does everything, but doing a whole rule set would be different than just writing a adventure module for an existing game set. But I thought it'd be interesting to think about. So it's just kind of funny how things in real life impact gaming and how gaming might impact things in real life. But also, I want to touch on a few other things. I want to mention that every Wednesday night at Battleground Games and Hobbies is Historical Gaming Night. And it rotates between the Abington location and the Plainville location. This week we will be at Plainville. It's 25 Taunton Street. And there's a group of us. We play Flames of War, or rather, most of the group plays I'm Learning How to Play. But we also play War at Sea, which is the Wizards of the Coast World War II naval miniatures game. It's a collectible minis game. I'm really into that. I have tons of the models, tons of everything for it. I have everything, actually. And I'm always happy to teach someone to play, always happy to play. And we do board games and, you know, like classic Games Workshop games like Space Hulk and all that kind of stuff. But if you're ever in the area, you're looking to play, you want to meet a group of nice, casual, fun, and friendly gamers, come on down on a Wednesday night. We're usually there from 7 o'clock on until closing or even later. And we're playing all sorts of stuff. This week, we're going to be planning on playing 600-point games of Flames of War. And I'm looking forward to getting some more games in so I can learn and become more familiar with the rules so I'm a better player for it and learn how to actually play. I've only had 2 games under my belt, so I'm still learning the rules. And my force right now isn't really designed for 600-point games because what I have assembled is basically my tanks. And this actually kind of leads into the next topic that I want to talk about. That's the status of my Flames of War army. I had been working on it for a while, and for most part, my vehicles are assembled and painted. All my tanks are done. My transports for my Panzer Grenadiers are done. I'm using a motorized Panzer Grenadier army. I'm sorry, not army, but a detachment, a platoon of them. And if you're hearing some background noise, it's because I'm opening up my newest edition, which is the Eastern Front book. And I had the Ostfront book, and I apologize for this background noise. I know when I do some post-production, it's not going to sound that great. So I do apologize, and our future episodes will have better sound quality. But I had the Ostfront book, as I had said, and I was told recently that that is out of date and I needed to get the new Eastern Front book. When I got the Eastern Front book, I realized that they had changed a lot around. And so what I'm actually using is no longer a Panzer company. It is what they call, and I know I'm going to butcher this, even though I have a Germanic background, but a Mittler Panzer Company, which is a medium armored company. And the reason why I'm using this instead of a standard Panzer Company is that I already have a bunch of Panzer IIIs and a couple Panzer IVs that I had for my force. If I was to do a standard Panzer Company, I'd have to use Panzer IVs and no Panzer IIIs. So that's why it's been modified slightly. Additionally, my Panzer Grenadier platoon, they all ride in motorized transports. There are no half-tracks. I would love to have an armored Panzer company, but unfortunately, I don't have the points for it in a 1,500 or a 1,700 point list. So they're motorized, and those are all assembled. They're painted, they're based. I think they look quite nice overall, and I'm quite happy with them. What I'm working on is my Scout platoon. And, again, this was a concession I had made because I actually wanted to have a Panzer Pioneer platoon. I know they would have done better, but unfortunately, again, I couldn't afford the points for them, so I picked up a Scout platoon, which, in looking at the Army Force list for this, I wasn't seeing them, but that's because they're listed as a weapons platoon choice for me. So my Scout platoon are on BMW bikes. I have one fully assembled and fully painted, but not yet based. The others are almost completely assembled, and I'm painting them up right now. I actually had base coated and primed them already. So I'm working to finish that off. I need to finish that. I need to base them. I need to put on the handlebars on all of them and the gun for the sidecar. And then I need to paint the infantry and glue them in place. That means the only other thing I have to do is to assemble, paint, and base my Panzer Grenadier platoon. And I would have had that done sooner. I picked up some basic material, which I want to do a review on and share with everyone in the podcast and the blog. I had a hard time finding material and wasn't really sure what to use. I knew that I liked what was on the Flames of War website and what I had seen in the books that they had used, but I wasn't sure what I needed to get to replicate that. I did some looking online, I checked the Flames of War forums, and I discovered that most people recommended two things. The first one was spackle, and then the second was a wood filler. So I picked up an Elmer's wood filler. It's for interior use, and it's kind of like a dark brown color. And I picked that up because I figured if I don't get all of the paint on it that I wanted or shaded already, it'll already have a dark brown base color, so the recesses and the shadows won't be too bad, that they should look okay. And the spackle I got, someone had recommended Dry Dex Time Indicator Spackle, and it starts off purple, I believe, or pink when you apply it, and then when it is dry, it is white. So that way, you know when you can actually use it to paint. So you'll know it's all set and it's good to go and there's no guesswork involved. And I also picked up a really, really small, I think it's maybe a quarter inch screwdriver with a small handle. It's a short, you know, metal prong with the screwdriver. Yeah, to use for spackling, because any putty knives I had seen were too big for the basis, and I had seen YouTube videos that showed that this was a good way to do it. I haven't done them yet, but I intend to. And when I do, I will do a review of them. I want to compare and contrast them and show what I think is a better one and use that to help other modelers and gamers out there. I had a really, really hard time figuring out what to use. So the research I did led me to this, and it may not be the best way to go about it. And hopefully, by my doing this, it will save you the time and the effort and the frustration that I had in figuring this out. The other issue is that I don't have my paint for my infantry models. I asked my local store, Battleground Games and Hobbies, to order me some. I need Vallejo paints, and there were specific ones shown in the Art of War Volume 2. And the ones I wanted, they don't normally carry Vallejo paint, but they said they could special order them. I asked 3 weeks, maybe a month ago, and they still had not gotten them in. I don't even know if they ordered them. I'm assuming they did because they're really good about that kind of stuff. They had said that the distributor they use for Flames of War material is really bad. I can't recall their name, and even if I could, I'm not sure if I would want to say it publicly. But I was told that they're not very reliable, they don't ship very quickly, they don't do anything quickly. And I was very upset about that because when I had placed the order, I said, you know, I only want to place it with you guys if you're going to be able to get it in a week or two, because I need to get going on it. It's the main thing that's holding me up in my army. And I was assured, you know, they'd place the order and everything, and I'm not blaming Battleground Games at all. They go above and beyond. They're really good. They provide incredible customer service. I mean, they've been awarded our Editor's Choice Award. They're the only company we've reviewed with a perfect score. They're the only brick-and-mortar store who has received an Editor's Choice Award from us. I strongly suggest you go to them to play at, to purchase from, to hang out at. They are heads and shoulders above everyone else, and in my opinion, in the opinion of the CWF Gamecast, they are the gold standard for brick-and-mortar game stores, as far as we've seen. That said, I think the fault lies with the distributor. So sadly, I canceled my order with them and had to get it elsewhere. I'm waiting for the materials to arrive, and it's not something I had wanted to do. I wanted to support my local game store. You always hear the model, you know, pay where you play. And I have issues with that motto, but that's something hopefully Tom and I will get into next time. I wanted to talk with him about that in particular because I know he purchases gaming products and, you know, painting supplies and that kind of stuff to assemble and paint models and his model trains and his model railroads. But I know he doesn't always get that at local hobby stores and local game stores. So he's not playing at these locations. And I know he's not the only one. I know there are a lot of people who don't play only or part of the time at the game stores, they either play completely at their homes or a friend's home, or a lot of the time they play at homes or someplace outside of the game store. So it's not possible for them to pay where they play. They need to pay elsewhere and play where they play. So because of that and some other issues, I have problems with the whole pay where you play motto. I think it's catchy. I think it's useful for the game industry. I think it's an easy way to try to convey that, you know, you need to support your game store, you need to support your community, and you do. If you don't, these places are gone, and you won't have them, and if you don't support them, then no one else is going to support them, and if nobody supports them, not only will yours go away, but the other people's stores and communities will go away, and then you'll be up the creek without a paddle. So I do think it's important to support them, and that's why I felt really bad about purchasing my paints elsewhere, but I needed them. I still do, and they will be arriving. I'm not sure when, but hopefully soon. And when they do, I can finish my army. It'll take a while. This has been a long time coming. I got into Flames of War in the very beginning, and I hate painting. I hate assembling. I just hate that side of it. I just want the stuff so I can go and play. I'm not someone who wants to sit down somewhere and put little guys together, put tanks together, paint them up, or do that kind of stuff. I love seeing a well-assembled and a well-modified, well-converted, well-painted army. It's just not something that I like to do, and I'm not very good at it. With Flames of War, I'm doing it all myself, or as much of it as I can. So I'm trying to get it done, I'm trying to do it, but it's not easy, and it's taken me a long time. Since I don't like to do it, I put it off, and it's been years since I picked up stuff, and I just kind of got back into working on it. So to have this obstacle in front of me by not having the paints, that's a problem. It's a concern. So once I get those paints, I'll be able to move forward and get that taken care of. And I'll be very happy by that. And also, it would be nice for when I go to the 600-point historical gaming nights, when we play 600 points of Flames of War, that I can have something besides tanks to field. My first two games, I fielded, you know, my HQ and one combat platoon, which was tanks, my panzers. It was nice. But then I had a scout platoon of HQ and a bike. And they didn't do so well when I played against my opponent's Russians, which was an infantry group and some tanks. Yeah, their tanks cost less points, their infantry cost less points, so they can field more of it. But it didn't work out so well. Their tanks had longer ranges on their guns than mine, almost all of mine, so I was getting shot at a distance, and even with cover, it was a problem. I had no infantry to back my tanks, and as any student of history will tell you, tanks don't do well unless they are supported, and the best way to support them is with infantry. You need the foot sloggers to guard the tanks and support their flanks and to move forward and, you know, help out, and without that, you're doomed. So I was doomed, and I'm okay with it because I wanted to learn how to play. I still do, and it was just fun to get a game in, but it would be nice to be able to pose a challenge to my opponent so that when I'm learning in these demo games, that it's fun for them, and I think if they're having fun and I'm having fun, that's what it's all about. So I'd like to be able to do that. Well, that's about it for talking about Flames of War. I wanted to mention about my progress. I hadn't given an update on my Panzer Company, which is what I'm calling it. I know officially it's not called the Panzer Company anymore. But on my Panzer Company, I wanted to talk about the issues with the slow ordering. I don't know if any of you go to other game stores in New England and if they have problems with the slow ordering of Flames of War products. I mentioned that I was getting Vallejo paints. But what I didn't mention was I discovered that instead of getting all of the paints separately, that Vallejo creates some paint sets for Flames of War specifically. It's branded for Flames of War and everything. And you'll see it on the Flames of War website. But if you order the paints as a paint set instead of separately, you actually save some money. So there was a German paint set, a German armor or infantry or something like that. And it had all but one of the paints in it were useful to me. And then I still needed a couple others. But getting it that way was much cheaper than buying each of the paints separately. So, I mean, it was a good deal for me. And although it is Flames of War, is Vallejo paint set I've been talking about, this particular paint set was through Flames of War. So I don't know if people order, if game store owners order Games of War stuff separately from the Vallejo stuff, if they have different distributors. I'm not, you know, up to date on that. I'm not an expert on that process. But that's something would be worth finding out about. Battleground Games and Hobbies uses a different distributor for the Flames of War stuff, and I'm assuming also for the Vallejo. And there have been problems with it. So I'd be interested to finding out if any of you listeners happen to be game store owners or, you know, frequent customers at a game store and happen to know the answer to that. Now, who do you use to order your Flames of War? Who do you use to order your Vallejo? How are they? Are they good? Are they fast? Are they reliable? Tell me about it. I know there are other game stores out there. I know that The Wiz in Westboro in particular is a fan of our Facebook page, so maybe they might have the information on this. I know they have a huge stock of Flames of War, and so they might be a help. I know Adler Hobby in New Hampshire also has quite a bit, and I know there are a lot of other game stores in New England, a lot of other game stores in the world, in America. So if you're listening to this, please get in touch with us, and I will tell you how at the end of the show. But now I want to move on to our last section, and that's just a state of affairs, I guess. You know, they do the State of the Union address for America and that kind of thing. So I just want to give a State of the Union, I guess, about the CWF Gamecast. And in particular, I want to say that we've gone live with our new header logo. It was created by Frack Media Productions, which is the company that I am the PR coordinator for. It is run by a friend of mine, and he's fantastic. His name's Joe, and he's the one who was creating he was the graphic designer for me on this. Was still working on the rest of the graphics, but he gave me the go-ahead to put this one up. I am very pleased with it. I like it a lot. I think it really embodies the new direction that we're going with the CWF Gamecast. I think it says everything visually that needs to be said. I think it says what it needs to in words with the text. I'd be interested in hearing your feedback on it. I hope you like it as much as I do. I can't say how much I really enjoy it. I really do. I think he's done a fantastic job. And we will be having more graphics that are redesigned to go live. And once they are up, we will let all of you know, but I'm head over heels for it. I'm really pleased. We've been refocusing the blog. We brought back the podcast. We're going to be doing a lot of other stuff. We're working more heavily on New England gaming, on historical gaming, and setting our sights on that and trying to stay as true to that to give you better content on it. Instead of a little bit of everything, we want to be really good in a narrower range to find our niche and to deliver to you. And we hope that the graphics will show what we're doing and show our new focus and think that it will do the job. So if you would love to see it, please head over to our website, the blogs at www.wargamingforums.com. That's all one word, wargamingforums.com, and you'll see it right at the top. I think it's really cool, as I said. I hope you do too. And that's about it. I feel like there was something else I had wanted to mention, and I can't think of it. So at this point, I just want to say that, as with everything else with the CWF Gamecast, that this podcast is proudly sponsored by 127 Games. That's 12-7-games.com. Again, the number 12-7-games.com. And I need to come up with a better way to say the name, but 127 Games is the recipient of our first Editor's Choice Award, the only online vendor who's received an Editor's Choice Award from us. They sell historical gaming products. They sell Access and Allies minis, War at Sea minis, and other items pertaining to historical gaming. I believe they're working on getting Flames of War, or at least some Flames of War, and they're fantastic. I highly recommend them. If you need to purchase anything online and you're not able to purchase it from a local game store, you don't have a local game store, or you need to save a few bucks or whatever, please try 127 Games. They are so good. Their customer service is fantastic. They provide fast shipping. There's free shipping on orders over 100, and they're just wonderful. And they've been so good to us. They sponsor the blog. They sponsor the podcast. They sponsored a contest that we ran a while ago. We're going to be running some more contests, and we believe they'll be sponsoring those as well. They're just fantastic. So head on over to 127games.com and get whatever it is that you happen to need. They have it, and they're happy to help you out. They're just fantastic. And be sure to tell Bill, the owner, that Jonathan from the CWF Gamecast sent you. So at this point, I'm going to wrap up the show, say thank you for listening, thank you for giving me your time. I hope that you come back and listen to us again next time, and we will soon be bringing you our new conversational format of the podcast. So until then, thank you again, and keep on gaming.